to Favorite Songs By,
the podcast where two friends and music industry professionals
break down our favorite songs
by Desert Island, all time, top five
by our favorite artists
are as follows.
To create our own ultimate best ofs playlists.
We're your hosts,
Nicole Prooch
and Kit Atkinson.
Hi there.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Good, thanks. Looking forward to today's episode.
Oh my God, me too. And it's been a while. And I'm actually, I think the last time when we talked about this one, I was like, you know, I'm not sure how excited I am, but I had a lot of fun listening through.
I had so much fun. This took me down memory lane so much. It was great.
Totally. So why don't you just cut right into the intro? And so we, you know, don't leave our listeners guessing who we're talking about.
All right. Today, we're talking about our favorite songs from one of my favorite bands, and in my opinion, the greatest ever two-piece, the White Stripes. Formed in Detroit, Michigan in 1997 by singer-guitarist Jack White and drummer Meg White, the band emerged from a vibrant local scene and were soon taking their unique blues rock sound around the globe with a relentless touring schedule. Their first three albums won them a serious cult following, but it wasn't until switching from indie label Sympathy for the Record Industry to the major labels V2 and XL that the White Stripes really took off. Their third album, White Blood Cells, got a re-release in 2002, which coincided with the garage rock explosion that year, and they never looked back. Fourth album, Elephant, was recorded almost entirely in analog or non-digital, so in non-musician terms, that means really old gear, and featured the hit that is still sung in sports stadiums around the world today, Seven Nation Army. The album earned them a Grammy for Best Alternative Music Album, which was also awarded to their following and final two albums, Get Behind Me Satan and Icky Trump. Their back catalogue consists of six studio albums, a best of, two live albums and a whole bunch of live recordings, four EPs, a concert film, a documentary, and 14 very cool music videos. They were even able to fit in a quick and quirky cameo in Jim Jarmusch's Coffee and Cigarettes. If you haven't seen that, check it out. It's very interesting. The White Stripes stood out with their lo-fi recording and writing process, their blues rock influences, their fashion and design concepts with the red, white, and black theme across all albums. They were also obsessed with the number three. Their genius music videos, such as the Lego style video for Fell in Love with a Girl and the stop movement video for The Hardest Button to Button, and their brilliant publicity ideas, such as the great mystery of if they were brother and sister as originally specified or if they were actually ex-husband and wife. For the record, it was the latter, with Jack White originally being Jack Gillis, the upholsterer, before taking Meg's surname. Disbanding in 2011, they recently put out a greatest hits album via Jack White's label, Third Man Records, a name which goes all the way back to his first company, Third Man Upholstery. Enough with the formalities. Let's talk about our favorite songs from the White Stripes.
Woo! Nice job. It's a lot in there. I do have to point out that you said Icky Trump instead of Icky Thump. Because there's that, like, didn't I get you like a bumper sticker from Third Man Records that says Icky Trump?
It's literally on the fridge behind me.
No, that's why. Anyway, though, that was great. And like, there's just so much in there when I started digging in and doing some research and just listening to everything and watching clips and their documentary. Like, I think like one of the coolest things about the White Stripes was just how meticulous. I mean, I really think it was Jack who was pretty, the more meticulous
one. Yeah.
The creative one. It was, I mean, it was his band, let's face it. But he was very specific about, like you said, like the number three that shows up, and he has a line about, I'm your third man, and like the styling of everything and how he mixed kind of like his architectural influences and art influences with music, and just how he was able to combine like so many different types of genres to come up with something completely unique. But it was all so... He was very specific about what he was doing, or I guess about what they were doing.
I also find it really interesting with Jack White in the whole recording process, how he's always listed as producer, which kind of underrates the impact and, you know, I guess the, you know, the production that was also put in. by other key figures along the way. I guess we'll talk about it as the albums go on. Started off with Jim Diamond when they went to London and recorded for Elephant. They were using Liam Watson's studio, and Liam Watson was very much involved in the whole recording process. So it is kind of interesting that he's always listed as the producer. So I would definitely tell people, when you're getting stuck into these albums, look at the kind of backstory of who he's recorded with, which studio he recorded in, because they were really succinctly chosen. He was very meticulous, again, in that sense.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to hear more about that.
Let's get the ball rolling, shall we?
Let's get it going.
Rules recap. 1, we'll go through the album releases in chronological order. 2, the artist must be featured on the recordings. 3, there must be no more than 12 songs on the final list.
There are, like, as you and I have kind of discussed on the side, there are tons of kind of like singles and B-sides and EPs dotted in throughout their entire career. So we can, what do you think? Should we just kind of like go through them in case there's anything we like off of them and want to, or anything we want to discuss, and then we
You know, it is still mainly singles, and you just have, you know, especially later in their career, some cool EPs popping up. So yeah, absolutely.
Okay, cool.
But I guess there was the singles at the start, both 7 inches in 1998, a year after they formed, Let's Shake Hands and Lafayette Blues. Both really cool sounds. Like Let's Shake Hands, I really wanted to put into my list. I didn't in the end, but it's a very cool song, and they featured it as a single on the greatest hits they've just released as well.
Yeah, it's cool. Actually, it's funny you mentioned the greatest hits. I like tried not to look at it until I was done with my list.
Same.
And then I went back through to see if I had anything I missed, or, you know, just hadn't listened to. But yeah, I like that song too. And I agree. I feel like it's a really good showcase. Like those two songs, Lafayette Blues and Let's Shake Hands, is like a really good showcase of kind of where they started. I mean, obviously it's their first one, but you can still hear some of that kind of like Delta blues and all that stuff kind of throughout a lot of the songs that they did from there after. So it's a nice little kind of like foundational piece to listen to.
Yeah, absolutely.
So then there's The Big Three Killed My Baby,
which was the lead single off their first album, the self-titled, The White Stripes.
Right. And then there's some other, you know, another few songs on that kind of single disc as well. Did you have anything from any of those?
No, and to be perfectly honest, I'm not the biggest fan of The Big Three Killed My Baby. I assume it was probably that they wrote that ahead of a lot of the songs on the album. But for me, there's a lot stronger songs on their self-titled debut album.
Yeah. Okay, then moving on to their first studio album, The White Stripes, self-titled.
Yep.
Do you have anything from that one?
Look, I really do. And I've got two standouts, like two songs I really love, you know, all the way through their career. Astro, which I think is a killer track, and a real classic songwriter's song, Sugar Never Tasted So Good. I assumed that was a cover, but it's not. And that's how strong his songwriting is.
That's the funny thing. Like, I had to go back and be like, is this a cover? Because, you know, there's so many covers. And then he was able to kind of like emulate the sound so well that I had to do that too. I was like, wait, is this one a cover? Okay. And then, so what's your kind of final of those two? Or are they both like?
Both. They're both in. Look, I love I really love this album. But for me, those were the two standouts.
So I also have Astro on my list, but not as like a final.
Damn. All right.
But I do have Stop Breaking Down.
Which is a very cool song.
Must have.
Yeah. Like I think, you know, we'll have to maybe just have a kind of chat around those three. Because, you know, Astro is pretty cool. Like, I really do love that song.
I do like that one. I think what I like about Stop Breaking Down is kind of what I was just talking about with like Lafayette Blues, is that it's a Robert Johnson cover, actually.
Yeah.
And, you know, him being such an influence on Jack, you know, it's really cool. And it's a really cool take on it. I think the other, like, you know, the Rolling Stones famously covered it as well. But I don't know. I kind of like this one better. I'm not sure. I don't know if we can really compare the two, but I think it's a really cool cover of it. And I think it says a lot about what the influences are for this band.
So. Yeah, sure.
All right, then moving on. So the 2000, there was another kind of single, Party of Special Things to Do. And that was actually Captain Beefheart covers on that one.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. Did you have anything?
No, I didn't.
All right. Neither did I. And then Handsprings, another single.
Yep.
And Hello Operator. Yep. Do you have anything on those?
No.
Okay. And actually, I think, and I could be wrong, but Hello Operator, I think, is where we first see the Dolly Parton Jolene cover.
Yeah, it was. And actually, funnily enough, that really helped crack the band over in Australia. That was massive, that B-side. Like, I don't know if you know kind of the relationship between Australia and the White Stripes, but when the White Stripes were first touring, they came to Australia. So they played like in their very, very early days, played this this classic venue called the Empress, which had a tiny band room. And I think they played all over Melbourne, to be honest, and really toured around Australia. And everyone, therefore, when they started getting big, like they were already quite big in Australia. And Jolene was a massive part of that. And for me, that's one of my first memories of the White Stripes, is when Jolene started hitting the radio. I mean, I'm going to brag and say that I was already listening to the White Stripes because I really got into their first album. But that Jolene song really seemed to do a lot to break them over here. And for me, it really holds a special place in my heart. I've selected that song on my list.
Okay.
I just love it. It's such a good cover. It's so different from the one that we all know and love, but live, that cover is something to behold.
It's pretty amazing. In that documentary, the Under Great White Northern Lights, they play it, and it's just like, I was sitting there watching this the other day. I'm like, God, and that was the moment where I'm like, God, I miss live shows so much. Yeah. I mean, they're a band to see live, and that song is just awesome. So moving on to the Lord Send Me an Angel cover. It's a cover, but it's another single. Did you have anything on that?
No.
Okay. I noted in my notes here that there's a You're a Pretty Good Looking remix on that. If any listeners want to go back and listen to that. Okay. And then we have, if I'm pronouncing this correctly, De Style.
I think it's Distill.
Okay. I looked up nerdily, looked up how to actually pronounce it. De Style is actually how you pronounce that.
Really? But us White Stripes fans say Distill.
Distill. Okay. Yeah. So Distill.
That's what I'm saying anyway. What songs did you have off this one?
This is a really cool album. I have You're Pretty Good Looking for a Girl, Apple Blossom, I'm Bound to Pack It Up, which I really like because to me it feels like a lot like a Led Zeppelin song.
Yeah, it's a cool song.
And you can definitely hear that influence in there. Truth Doesn't Make a Noise. But out of those four, I would say my tops are You're Pretty Good Looking for a Girl, Apple Blossom, and I'm Bound to Pack It Up.
Okay, so we're kind of in agreement here. The songs that I selected were You're Pretty Good Looking for a Girl, Hello Operator, Apple Blossom, I'm Bound to Pack It Up, and Jolene. You know, it's the B-side. And the songs that I want to keep are You're Pretty Good Looking, Apple Blossom, and Jolene.
Oh, perfect. Okay, cool.
So we're 2 for 3. Sweet. There, but I'm going to fight for Jolene, pretty good. Just so you know.
We'll see how this goes. I'm not like disagreeing with you on Jolene, but let's see how far we get.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving on to the 2001 release, White Blood Cells.
Yep. Great album, amazing album. Still go back to that a lot, to be honest. I really love it. And this is an interesting album. It had two lives. Initially, it was released on Sympathy for the Record Industry, and then they went and signed with the major labels V2 and XL, and they then re-released the song, and they put on the videos, that Lego style one that I was talking about, Fell in Love with a Girl, and The Hardest Button to Button, where you've got that stop motion of all the drums and amps across the city. It's such a clever vehicle to release a song with a video like that. Yeah. What did you have of this one?
Well, actually, something I didn't know is that this independent album released through Sympathy for the Record Industry, is that a White Stripes like independent label or what?
I don't think so. I've seen that name around quite a lot. I'm pretty sure it's like kind of a standard record label, but let's check it. I'm just
That's an interesting kind of like reference.
No, it's definitely it's just an indie label basically, but it's got a lot of cool stuff on it. If you look at the roster, it's got artists like The Muffs, Gun Club, Billy Childish, Turbo Negro, April March, Von Bondies, Rocket from the Crypt. Mm. Very cool bands, people. Go and listen to all. Oh, even Kim Salmon and Board. Yeah, really cool stuff. So there you go. You're learning as you go along.
I'm learning so much. Okay, so what songs do you have off of this one?
Okay, there's a lot of good songs on this one, so it's quite hard to pick out the ones that I want to take. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about Dead Leaves and the Dirty Ground, Hotel Yorba, Fell in Love with a Girl, and We're Going to Be Friends. We're Going to Be Friends is such a classic song. It's so well written. I love it.
So you and I are pretty close on this one. I have, my list is Dead Leaves and the Dirty Ground, Hotel Yorba, Fell in Love with a Girl, and We're Going to Be Friends. And I favorited all of those except for Fell in Love with a Girl, which I know is controversial.
Yeah, I find that controversial, especially because when you got to factor it in, I think that song with that video would have broken them to a lot of people.
Sure.
So there's a lot of significance
in that song. Is it a favorite song of theirs?
Yeah.
I like it, but I think I have Shawn Mendes on this list.
You know that the fast repeating now line? Like, I couldn't leave that off a best of. It's just so cool.
Okay, well, let's come back.
We might have to come back.
We agree on three of them at least.
That's pretty impressive for us. I'm happy with that.
Okay, so then we've got 2002, Fell in Love with a Girl single. Anything you want to say about that one?
Not really.
There's a Bob Dylan cover on that one called Lovesick, if any listeners are interested in that.
And that's pretty cool,
pulling in that kind of influence. Dead Leaves and the Dirty Ground single.
No. It's got the live version of Stop Breaking Down, which is cool.
Yeah, which is awesome.
What I loved about looking all this up is I didn't know they'd done any Christmas songs, but they've got a Merry Christmas from the White Stripes and which has got a couple of
songs out there.
Yeah, but, you know, it's cool what you stumble across doing this podcast, but that really made me smile. I love my Christmas song, so I didn't put it
in. But did you listen to the one where, like, he's, like, trying to coach Meg on how to sing?
Oh, it's so weird. It's just
I had to turn it off.
I got really turned off by that. I was just like, this is something I should put down on the record.
Well, it's really interesting because you see in the documentary too, like, I just feel like it was definitely like he was leading it and he was really coaching her. I mean, she became like an amazing drummer.
Yeah.
But didn't start that way. And he even says, like, I didn't want her to practice because I liked how it sounded like a beginner, you know, like she didn't really know how to play the drums when they started and he liked that sound, but it was like, I'm not sure how musical she really was to begin with. I don't know. Don't know that much about her and it's hard to find any information about her. So then knowing that and then hearing that song where he's like, oh no, you have to sing it like this. And like, you know, she's clearly not a singer. And I was just like, I can't listen to this anymore. This is like hurting.
The one thing I do have to say on that is, I think the significance of her vocal and what it did for the band once it started coming onto the albums and singles was massive and cannot be underestimated. Like, I even would say that their albums may have been more successful up until this point if she had actually been doing vocals on them, because really when you come across songs like In the Cold, Cold Night and that frail vocal that she's got that's still so cool, like, it just grips you.
Yeah, I think you and I have a different opinion about that, but we can talk about that when we get... I get what you're saying. I don't love it as much.
Yeah, I just think, you know, what she does in the band is so good. But look, anyway, so at this point in their career, they're coming up to Elephant, as we mentioned before. They've just jumped on a major. And so what they did is they decided to record everything analog. They recorded it at Toe Rag Studios, very famous studios for a lot of great reasons that were in London. For people who haven't been there, it is full to the brim of the coolest, oldest amps that have been used by all the best bands at Abbey Road and BBC Studios. Mm-hmm. Liam Watson, I think he used to work at those studios, so he kind of gathered all those kind of archival ones. Like, I remember being at that studio and playing through an amp that the Beatles recorded their first couple of albums on.
What? Like, that's awesome. I didn't know
Stuff like that, like, really amazing. And like, it's got this really cool floor in the studio where it's like a black and white check floor. Like you feel like you're in a film clip, like, you know, from the 60s. It's insane. And the reel-to-reel tapes they've gotten there are just like the best, most old school machines. And you're not going to get any better equipment, you know, from the past than in a studio like Toe Rag. And a lot of famous underground albums came from that studio. And after White Stripes recorded there, of course, everyone wanted to get in, but there'd been a lot of great artists that had come through that Jack White was trying to channel, a lot of great sounds, and Elephant would not have been what it was without the engineering and mixing by Liam Watson on this record.
Well, thanks for that little background.
Sorry about the passion there, guys. But
no, it's great. Love it. I didn't know any of that, so thank you.
And also Bruce Brand, who is a really great drummer for a lot of cool garage bands. He did a lot of the album artwork and stuff like that for it. So just, you know, keep that in mind.
Cool. Okay, so what do you have on this one?
Look, I mean, obviously standout is Seven Nation Army. Such a good song. You know, we could be pretentious and say that shouldn't be on the best of, but God damn it. I mean,
no, it should be
that song. I was at the cricket the other day. Like, cricket is like baseball for all you Americans. and basically it's like 2020. So it's kind of the baseball version of it, where it's just like really quick and over in 5 seconds. But all these kids were just like singing along to the song. Like, and I'm just like, wow, like, it, you know, this song will go on forever. So
I mean, it's a globally known, I mean, it's, oh, yeah, everyone knows, you know, that
soccer hooligans love this one. So Seven Nation Army, In the Cold, Cold Night, The Hardest Button to Button, Girl, You Have No Faith in Medicine, and Well, It's True That We Love One Another.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Is the It's True That We Love One Another the Holly Golightly one?
Yeah. And by the way, Holly Golightly, if you haven't listened to her albums, she is amazing.
Okay, so we have some differences on this one. So mine were Seven Nation Army, There's No Room for You Here, and I Just Don't Know What to Do with Myself.
Okay.
So we agree on Seven Nation Army, but we differed on the other favorites.
That's going to be tricky, I think. But, you know, all right, we'll see how we go.
Okay, let's move along. Okay, a bunch of other... Yeah, some other singles in there. But then we get to Get Behind Me, Satan.
Yeah.
Kind of where we should probably go with this.
So mixed by John Hampton and Howie Weinberg, this one. It's a pretty solid album as well. I've actually just selected the two off this one, My Doorbell and The Denial Twist.
Ah, okay. So my favorites were Blue Orchid, My Doorbell, and The Denial Twist. But I only selected My Doorbell as like a must keep.
Yeah.
So we agree on that.
Yeah.
And then you also had The Denial Twist. Okay. Well, before we move all the way on to Icky Thump, I did want to point out the Conquest EP that has like three tracks that feature Beck as a producer, and he's a vocalist.
Do you like Beck? I didn't know.
What's that? Do I like Beck? I mean, we had a whole episode about Beck. I had to point it out. I'm surprised Jack White doesn't have a Sheryl Crow cover, or, you know, like vice versa.
Yeah, what happened there?
Or a Bond theme song.
Yeah, true.
Anyway, wanted to point that out because that was new. I didn't know that until I went through and listened to these, and they're pretty cool. But none of them made the list. But they're still cool. So, Icky Thump. Let's do that.
Well, no, we're not there yet.
Oh, what did I skip?
Walking with a Ghost EP. That one I actually picked up on vinyl years and years ago. It's a Tegan and Sarah cover. They do it so well. It's like, you know, one of those songs where, like, I think that song was written for the White Stripes, not Tegan and Sarah. Like, it's so good and it's so perfect for their sound. Like, I love what they do with it. It's a really killer track, and especially after they've kind of started really cracking it, like, it's just sounds so raw and garage. I love it. I actually selected it.
Okay.
It's pretty cool.
I think it's really cool. I actually really like the Tegan and Sarah version better. I mean, I think it's cool. I think there's just better, like, if I had to compare Walking with a Ghost to the Jolene cover by the White Stripes, I would.
But Jolene is one of their best moments, in my opinion. Like, you know, it's that kind of, like, yeah.
I just.
But if we're talking like, you know, around the 10 to 12 mark, it would definitely be in there for me.
All right.
Well, shall we jump to Icky Thump?
Yeah, let's do it.
Not Icky Trump. Well, actually, I want to talk about this one. There's a reason that three tracks Beck featured on because of Joe Ciccarelli's contacts. Basically, Joe Ciccarelli worked with like Morrissey, The Shins, My Morning Jacket, Strokes, Killers, and also a little known band called Spoon. So I thought you might be interested by that fact.
Nice.
Cool. Yeah, so very interesting. You know, he chose his studios and he chose his mixes and all that, you know, for specific reasons, which, you know, I think was really reflected on the different sound that they achieved on this album.
And that was, and this album came out in 2007, which was at kind of the height of a lot of, you know, those other bands that you're talking about.
Exactly.
Really kind of going at the time. So I imagine a lot of people were kind of scrambling to have, what's his name? Joe Ciccarelli?
Yeah. He was the big guy back then.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, so what do you have on this one?
I really like Icky Thump. I really like You Don't Know What Love Is. And I just selected You Don't Know What Love Is. It's such a good song. And also, if you listen to the acoustic version of this on the, you know, B-side of the single, like, it's really hard to split which version is better. They're both great.
So I have Icky Thump, You Don't Know What Love Is, Conquest, and Effect and Cause.
Yep.
And I chose Icky Thump and You Don't Know What Love Is also.
Okay, cool. Yep.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think if we're going to, I mean, I think we can, we don't really usually do live albums. And then if we move on to like the White Stripes Greatest Hits that just came out a few months ago, we've covered all that ground. So
yeah.
I think we're good to kind of try to condense this down now.
Let's go. So, this is going to be interesting.
Well, let's look at what we both had as like our finals and see where we're at.
Yeah.
How's that?
Okay. Cool. Okay. Sounds good.
So we have You're Pretty Good Looking for a Girl is something that we both agreed on. Apple Blossom. Dead Leaves in the Dirty Ground.
Yeah.
Hotel Yorba. We're Going to Be Friends. Seven Nation Army. And then we have My Doorbell. And then You Don't Know What Love Is. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 that we are absolutes on.
Yep. So basically what we've got four to play with here. That's going to be tough, actually.
I think you made a good case for Jolene.
I really think I did too. Me, it's just such an important moment in their career. Like, they really did something with that cover and it really did kind of put them out there to a whole new audience, you know, starting out. It was incredibly important, I think, for them, you know, raising eyebrows around the world, that song. Just such a good track. Got to have it on there.
Cool. Okay.
Shall we go through the albums
what
then?
About, well, you know what? We don't have anything from the White Stripes.
Yeah, well, then. So did you select Astro? No, you didn't, did you?
Not as a very favorite. The only one I chose on there as my very favorite was Stop Breaking Down. But I like Astro.
I kind of feel like Astro is a really good song. I like Stop Breaking Down. You know, Sugar Never Tasted So Good is great. Like, you know, if we're going to go with one of those three, I would think probably Astro.
I really like it. I just don't know if we have enough, like, Stop Breaking Down on there. Like, I feel like we don't have enough of the bluesy kind of thing. We have a lot of, like, the more fun ones.
Yeah.
That's my kind of take on that. I do really like Astro, though. But I feel like we need something else that's a little more like rocking on here. But we have Dead Leaves in the Dirty Ground and Seven Nation Army. But we don't really have anything that's like that real kind of raw, gritty.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We have three more spots. So I think if we do Astro, then we should pick. I would want to hear something else that gives us a little bit more variety.
Okay, cool. Maybe it's something we have to come back to once we've kind of factored in what else we're looking to keep or chuck out.
Like, I would almost go back to like Blue Orchid or I know we had so many. We just picked Seven Nation Army off of Elephant and we kind of didn't
What else have we got off that? That was the only one we've agreed on. And we
probably need to put
a couple of others on there.
I chose as very favorite, There's No Room For You Here, and I just don't know what to do with myself. And I like There's No Room For You Here because it's a different...
Yeah.
I think that was like a sound that they hadn't had but like up until that point. Like that really full, and there's that kind of like... That chorus is just really...
I found it hard with this album because it's just... Every track is a corker on that elephant we're talking about. Like In the Cold, Cold Night, I really feel should be on there. You know, Girl, You Have No Faith in Medicine, Hardest Button to Button. It's true that we love one another. They're all great tracks. It kind of feels like for me, like, you know, God, you know, if you're going to put the best White Stripes tracks on there, like, you know, it's got to be half of that album. But, you know, for more of getting a bit of their career in here, you know, I'm willing to say, like, cool, let's just try and go at three or four. But, you know, what do we put in?
I would say this. If you give me There's No Room For You Here, I would give you It's True That We Love One. I like It's True That We Love One Another over Cold, Cold Night.
Yeah,
all right. Feature female vocals. So I would do that instead, and then I would do There's No Room For You Here.
Yeah, cool. That's cool.
Okay.
And are we willing to talk about Girl, You Have No Faith in Medicine or The Hardest Button to Button?
I like Hardest Button to Button, but it's definitely not one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Medicines, I think I enjoy more.
All right, well, let's put those ones down, and then when we get to our final list, you know, we'll be a bit over, and then we can work out what to kick out.
Okay, so then we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So we only have one more, and then we're, you know, we've got one from Get Behind Me, Satan, we have My Doorbell, and then we have one from Icky Thump, You Don't Know What Love Is.
Yeah, and look, I'm happy with that because Icky Thump was a very good record, but, you know, I thought the standouts were, you know, a bit, you know, hard to pick where, you know, You Don't Know What Love Is, definitely, but the rest I kind of could give or take. So we've just got the one track from Get Behind Me, Satan, right?
Yeah, we just have My Doorbell on that one.
Okay, cool, yep. And then how many do we have of White Blood Cells?
We've got we have Dead Leaves, Hotel Yorba, and We're Going to Be Friends.
Okay, cool. And we're leaving off Fell in Love with a Girl?
Yeah, because I didn't favorite it. But should we do that instead of Medicine and Astro?
Oh, God. I think that's a really hard question to... Oh, I can't make that decision. That's really hard.
Is there anything else that we're... Is there anything we're shaky? I mean, I feel like we're pretty set on the other ones. I would say Fell in Love with a Girl over Astro. If we were going to do that.
Don't kick out Astro just yet. Put Fell in Love with the Girl on, and then we can kind of, when we go through them again, we can work out what's happening.
Well, we only have one space left.
Right. And so we said we're putting in Girl, You Have No Faith in Medicine, right?
No, not yet. We haven't decided. Now we're down to our deciders, our Medicine, Astro, and Fell in Love with the Girl. That's where we're at right now.
Just chuck them all in. Everyone's happy.
We'd have too many.
How many would that leave us with?
14. We can only pick one more.
So we've got to cut two out of that list. Okay. Oh.
I think because of Hotel Yorba, I would leave off Astro because those are, I feel like, kind of in the same ballpark.
Okay, cool. And is your selection of the White Stripes album in there or not?
No, I have stopped breaking down.
I feel like, Nicole, we need to have a song off the first album. I think we're
right. Then let's do Astro and kick off Hotel Yorba. I know. See what I'm saying?
I would rather Dead Leaves go and Hotel Yorba stay.
No. Okay.
You know what I mean?
No. Well, okay. How about in the spirit of...
Of giving.
I will gracefully give up There's No Room For You Here so we can put one from the White Stripes self-titled and we can do Astro from that one.
I think that's agreeable. I like that.
Okay, now we have to choose one more. So we're saying Medicine, but we already have now we have 1, 2 off that album.
Strong album.
So then we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Yeah. Okay. So if we do that, here's a recap. We've got Astro, You're Pretty Good Looking for a Girl, Apple Blossom, Dead Leaves in the Dirty Ground, Hotel Yorba, Fell in Love with a Girl, We're Going to Be Friends, Seven Nation Army, It's True That We Love One Another, My Doorbell, You Don't Know What Love Is, and Jolene. That's 12.
I mean, that's pretty good, isn't it?
I feel pretty good about that list.
So Medicine's not on that, though, is it?
No, Medicine's not on there.
Yeah.
But Jolene is, and yeah. Fell in Love with a Girl is.
Yeah.
So I think Medicine's awesome. I feel like we should tell our listeners to listen.
What's better, Fell in Love with a Girl or Girl, You Have No Faith in Medicine?
Fell in Love with a Girl, in my opinion.
All right, I'll give you that. Let's just call it.
Wrap it up. Awesome. There you have it then. Should I do another recap or we heard it enough?
Go for it.
Okay. We got Astro. We've got You're Pretty Good Looking for a Girl, Apple Blossom, Dead Leaves in the Dirty Ground, Hotel Yorba, Fell in Love with a Girl, We're Going to Be Friends, Seven Nation Army, It's True That We Love One Another, My Doorbell, You Don't Know What Love Is, and Jolene for our final favorite songs by White Jolene.
So good. I love that. This is great. This puts a really big smile on my dial. Thanks for making my day, Nicole.
Yeah, I felt like, being generous today.
That's a great list. That's a really great list. I'm really happy with that. I think we've accomplished something here today.
It's pretty cool. Podcast. It's actually a pretty cool list. I think it's like got a lot of, it's a little different. And maybe not as some very well known and some lesser knowns. I like it.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for listening, everyone. Go listen to the list on whatever and
we'll create that list for you and look for favorite songs by on Spotify, and we'll catch you next time.
Mwah.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Favorite Songs By. You can find all episodes with accompanying playlist on Spotify at Favorite Songs By Podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Favorite Songs By. And if you like what you heard, please share us with your friends. Favorite Songs By was created and produced by me, Nicole Pruch, with help from Kit Atkinson. Special thanks to our co-producer and engineer, Mike Santos.